to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, and we are welcoming to the program this morning the very Reverend Paul Hesse, the Vicar General for the Diocese of Corpus Christi and the pastor at St. Pius X Catholic Church. Good morning, Father. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing just fine.
Glad you're with us this morning. We appreciate you taking the time to sit in for Bishop Mario Alberto Aviles, very busy these days as he continues to meet with all the different priests in the diocese. And we're glad that you're here with us this morning, Father, as we celebrate on this Sunday the Ascension of the Lord. If you would now share that gospel with us.
Sure, absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but they doubted. Then Jesus approached and said to them, "All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always until the end of the age." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Ascension of the Lord is a Sunday that always brings to mind for me what the other disciples were thinking when Jesus was about to be lifted and ascending up. What must have been going through their minds as they see this very beautiful spectacle happening?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different feelings. The gospel tells us that they worshiped, but they doubted. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that they were dealing with was and grappling with was the fact that Jesus was about to leave, and they had no clue what they were going to be doing. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of the Lord had not come upon them yet. In fact, this celebration of the Ascension kind of prepares us for the celebration of Pentecost. So the disciples, I'm sure, were very kind of confused mm-hmm. and troubled. You know, why is he leaving? In fact, the account from Acts tells us that that when Jesus did ascend, the disciples were just kind of gazing up into heaven. They didn't exactly know what to do.
Right.
And the angel says to them, "Why are you staring up into heaven? Go." Mm-hmm. You know. And so I think they were confused. They didn't exactly know what it was that they were supposed to do. I'm sure they felt a little bit of sadness in their hearts because, you know, the Lord who had been with them for 3 years and had befriended them, then died, and then now he rose again. And so they're going through all these myriad motions mm-hmm. and whatever is going on. And so, you know, here he was departing again. You know, what was he trying to say to them? I think what they had to realize was that the real divinity of Jesus, you know, that was something that they had to kind of grapple with all throughout his ministry, but now it really becomes a reality. You know, he's going up to take his place at the right hand of the Father and to reign over all things. And so for them, this was kind of a very pivotal moment. You know, one of the things that we're told is that this ascension happened 40 days after he had risen from the dead. So, you know, 40 days is always a significant thing in the scriptures. You know, we talk about the 40 years that Moses and the Israelites spent in the desert sojourning, and it was all kind of a time of purification and preparation and mm-hmm. And we talk about the period that Noah was in the ark, and the rain came down 40 days and 40 nights, and so again, it's kind of a time of preparation and purification. And we talk about 40 days of Lent, mm-hmm. right? Which
right.
is the same thing, 40 days of purification, preparation. And so here, the Lord had spent 40 days with them, and now he's ascending into heaven. And this was a time of him revealing to them the reality of that he was alive, But now he was also preparing them for what it was that they were about to do, giving kind of, you might say, passing the baton to them, you know, saying, now it's time for you to go out into the world.
And to make disciples of all nations.
And make disciples of all the nations. And that's what we hear at the end of the gospel today. He says,
right.
Go and therefore make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, he's content to kind of leave them in that moment of an insecurity because he knows that he's going to be sending them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to instruct them and guide them and push them out into the world to do the work that they were called to do.
So in this very beautiful way, this gospel sets the stage for Pentecost.
Right.
In the sense that he's sort of telling you, this is where you're going to be going, and with the Spirit descending on you, you'll know what to do and how to get there.
Exactly.
So it connects to next Sunday.
Exactly.
Which is a beautiful way of looking at this gospel. I know that we had, before we got on the air, we talked about how the seventh Sunday of Easter is what appears on some calendars, but the Ascension of the Lord, which is celebrated the previous Thursday, has moved to Sunday, and we're celebrating it today.
Right.
And
yep.
And so in a beautiful way, we get to have a little bit of background looking into the Pentecost celebration next week.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So Jesus gives them a command, but, you know, still they, you know, they're kind of unsure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, how do we bring this to bear? How do we make this happen? And so they had to wait just a little bit longer.
Right.
To the 50th day when we celebrate Pentecost, which is why the Ascension is usually 10 days before Pentecost. Mm-hmm. It's usually on Thursday prior to this Sunday. But for pastoral reasons, we kind of transfer the Feast of the Ascension to Sunday because a lot of people don't ever get the experience of celebrating this unless we do it on a Sunday.
Right.
So Jesus says, you know, just wait a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and at that time, you're going to be instructed. The Spirit is going to work in a very powerful way within you and kind of lead you to go out. And, of course, we see that as we reflect on the Pentecost readings next Sunday. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here.
Right. But I also want to reflect for a few moments on what you said about how everything is so beautifully connected. The 40 playing into that, whether it's the 40 days of Noah in the ark or the 40 days of Lent or the 40 days that he was with us here, all of these things connect in such a beautiful way that maybe sometimes we go through a lot of the scripture readings or we go through Sunday to Sunday and don't realize how all of those things are so beautifully intertwined.
Yeah. A lot of times we don't really pay attention to those little details, 40 days. Okay, well, what does that mean? That's the work of scripture scholars who kind of help bring those to light. But yeah, I think the liturgy is beautifully connected. I mean, when you look at the Feast of the Annunciation, for instance, when does that come? That comes, 9 months before Christmas.
To the day.
to the day.
Right.
Yeah. March the 25th, right?
Uh-huh.
And Christmas is on December 25th. So it kind of traces that whole idea of, a mother being pregnant for 9 months and then brings that baby to term.
Mm-hmm.
And the liturgy is fraught with all kinds of connections like that. Really kind of help us trace the cycle of the life of Jesus Christ. And so here we are again with the Ascension.
Right.
And the Ascension is preparing us for the Feast of Pentecost. And but I think the Ascension is much more meaningful than just, you know, a time of preparation, Jesus departing and all of that. You know, there's several levels of significance to it. And the one of them is that we hear it in St. Paul's readings today where he says, you know, the Lord is going to be ascending to the right hand of the power, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And everything is going to be put beneath his feet.
Mm-hmm.
So what Jesus is doing is he's taking his rightful place in the heavenly kingdom, where he's always going to be advocating for us, always being our mediator before the Father. And so we see that Jesus is moving kind of from an earthly presence to a presence reigning in the heavenly kingdom over all things, over all powers, everything that there is, he has dominion over. And, you know, also, you know, one of the things that we see is that, you know, Jesus is present not just with those 12 disciples or those disciples that were connected with him during his earthly ministry, but he becomes now present everywhere, all at once, and not limited by time or space or anything. Oh, he never was limited by time or space, right. But he takes his place in the kingdom of heaven so that he can be present with us at all times and all places, and present in our churches and the Eucharist, and, you know, so we all have access to him, and that's a beautiful mystery that's kind of hard to comprehend. But, you know, when I go into the church and I kneel before the tabernacle, what a beautiful thing it is to be there in the presence of the Lord, who is not only in heaven with the Father, but is present with us here on earth and everything. So
it is indeed a great mystery. I know that, yeah, when I was in Catholic school, I remember one of my teachers who was a beautiful nun, and she had a way of sort of bringing everything kind of down to our level. We were in the third grade, but she would say this is kind of Jesus's homecoming, in a sense, going the ascension as he was going home, but he's still always with us. It was never like he left home, but he was just being drawn to the right hand of the Father. And when you're that young, you have that image in your mind, but it's funny how after all these years, you still keep that picture in your mind.
Yeah, God bless the nuns who taught us, right?
Absolutely.
They have a way of really bringing those things to light, especially to our simple minds who don't understand these things.
And those pictures that you form in your mind really stay with you over time. And I've always remembered that particular lesson that she taught us. And whenever we come to the ascension of the Lord, I always think of it as a type of homecoming for Jesus. He's home again, even though he never really left, but he still is being accepted and brought home to the right hand of the Father, where he continues to be with. And as you say, he is everywhere.
Yeah.
That's part of the great mystery.
Yep, that's part of the great mystery. He's always with us everywhere, at all times, all places, and there is never a moment that he is not with us. And that's kind of the great unfathomable mystery that we, you know, can't seem to comprehend. How could he be in all places at all times?
But still beautifully reassuring at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are here on Our Shepherd's View with the very Reverend Paul Hesse, who is the Vicar General for the Diocese of Corpus Christi and also the pastor at St. Pius X Catholic Church. We are talking about the scripture on the Ascension of the Lord on this Ascension Sunday. We will continue right after this. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the very Reverend Paul Hesse, who is the Vicar General of the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as well as pastor at St. Pius X Catholic Church on this Ascension of the Lord. We are talking about the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll pick up where we left off, Father, talking about how Jesus returns home, but he still remains everywhere and available to us, and that's part of the beautiful mystery of his ministry, one of the many beautiful mysteries of his ministry, that he is always with us, always available to us, no matter where we might be.
Yeah, he's always available to us. And so, as I mentioned, there's multi-layers to the gospel and to the feast that we're celebrating on the Ascension of the Lord. One of the things that Jesus wanted to do, and apart from taking his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, and so that he could be present to all of us, and but he entered the heavens so that he could be that one continuous sacrifice, which we celebrate in the Mass. You know, he's when we celebrate the Mass, it's always the same celebration of his passion, death, and resurrection. But also, one of the things that he asked the disciples to do is to go out into the nations. So he basically is commissioning them to go forth and not to sit around. You know, that's a good Christian is never one who just kind of sits and, you know, reads the Bible and that's it. You know, we always are called to act. We're commissioned by the Lord to go out and to proclaim the good news. And
put our faith into action.
Yeah, put our faith into action. And so that's That's another aspect of the ascension of the Lord, is that, you know, Jesus departed so that basically he's kind of passing the baton off to us and saying, okay, now it's your turn
right.
to go and to make disciples and to, you know, spread the good news to the far reaches of the earth. And you think about it, those 12 apostles and the few disciples that were connected with Jesus, you know, they indeed went to the far reaches of the earth. Mm-hmm. They went all over the place. And, you know, it's always amazing to me how just those few people went out. And now you look at the 1.4 billion Catholics that are in the world, and mm-hmm. that's not all. I mean, there's all kinds of Christian denominations that are out there, believers in Jesus Christ. You know, so it always is amazing to me how there was just kind of this explosion of belief and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because, you know, those disciples were so affected, so impacted by the life and the ministry of Jesus and by his passion, death, and resurrection that they couldn't help but go out. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Of course.
You know, which we have been talking about, that, you know, the Holy Spirit is what empowers us, what enables us to do what we do. I'm always amazed at how, you know, people respond to that call. You know, us as priests, mm-hmm. But I see lay people who, especially, you know, having celebrated the Easter sacraments, lay people who are responding to that call. To not only approach the Lord and receive the sacraments and profess faith, but to share that faith. It's amazing how a lot of those individuals go out and share the faith with others, and they bring them in, mm-hmm. you know. And so they're really fulfilling what Jesus had commissioned the disciples to do.
It's almost like those 12 apostles, they were the original seeds that just continued to grow, and it was through their action. Again, going back to it, where you said, it's great to know the word and to sit with it and to always reflect on it, but to get up and put it into action, that's how we bring Jesus to those people that may not know him or that may be a little bit estranged from him, maybe haven't gone to church in a while, but we keep him alive through those actions. And I think we embody or we imitate, maybe humbly, but we imitate what the disciples were called to do when Jesus told them to go out to the nations. But keeping Jesus alive in that action, he's still with us. And as you said, through the Holy Spirit, that enables us to continue to bring him to those people.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of times we think, oh, you know, I don't know if I can preach the gospel. You know, I don't know enough about
right.
the scriptures to preach. And, you know, and I don't think that everyone is called to, you know, to preach.
With the different gifts we have, we can do.
We all have our gifts, and right. that's what we, mm-hmm. again, reflect on in the mystery of the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. But those gifts are given to us. And we can all utilize them in the various ways that God calls us to utilize them. So some are preachers, some are teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, others may get involved in acts of charity, feeding the hungry, you know, visiting the sick, just spending time with children, or for instance, a parent who or a grandparent who just teaches their children values mm-hmm. and all those things. Those are all ways in which we're following that commission of Jesus to go out into the world and to spread the gospel message. And it's really kind of simple if you think about mm-hmm. it. You know, we kind of tend to make things a little more complex than we should.
Right.
You know, but I'm always amazed at how, you know, there are people that that respond to that call. I'm thinking of one of the co-founders of ELF that's been in the news the last few days. ELF meaning, you know, that cosmetic and beauty supply company or whatever, that I don't know much about that, but I've been seeing, you know, posts in social media about how he gave his fortune away and is going to become a priest.
Wow.
He's going to be ordained.
Uh-huh.
You know, think about that. That's a very courageous type of thing. But when you're overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit and you feel that call of God, he's doing precisely that. He's touched by the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, And that moved him to want to dedicate his life to the service of the Lord and to preach the gospel. That's living out the call of the ascension of our Lord, you know, to go out and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
No matter what the circumstances are.
Yeah, no matter what the circumstances.
He stepped out in faith and was led away from this other career that he had, this other success that he had, probably to an even greater type of success.
Yes.
And bringing other people along with him too.
Yeah, and a success that it has eternal ramifications.
Absolutely.
Rather than just a material wealth. He's, you know, kind of going to be, I'm sure, kind of stocking up some points in the heavenly kingdom for that.
Of course. And in keeping with going out and being disciples to the nations, we want to talk about something that is going on in your parish there at St. Pius, the 10th Catholic Church, of which you are the pastor, the Traveling Crucifix for Vocations. It's such a beautiful ministry that your parish does, several parishes do. But tell us a little bit about how that works and how that is helping to raise the awareness and, of course, the prayers for more young men to answer the call to the priesthood.
Yeah, this is really a great transition into the vocations because, you know, if Jesus is sending us out, you know, he's certainly calling people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people wonder why we don't have vocations, but I think God is calling people. It's just that we don't often listen. But one of the things that we're trying to do at St. Pius the 10th is we're trying to kind of bring that awareness. And so the Traveling Crucifix for Vocations is basically a crucifix that we place in a box with some prayers. And what we do is we usually periodically ask for volunteers to accept the crucifix into their homes.
Mm-hmm.
So they sign up for a week. And during the Sunday Mass, we will present it to the next family, and they'll take it home with them. They'll pray for vocations, and then they bring it back the following Sunday. And it's bringing about an awareness in the lives of all those people who have signed up,
mm-hmm.
but also the people who are in the general congregation who right. are witnessing this going on. And I firmly believe that if we do these types of things, we get people involved in praying for vocations, that God will grant us the vocations. And one of the things we're doing is we not only do it amongst the parishioners, but we also do it in our school. So we have two crucifixes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, we have all the classes will take a crucifix 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one class will take it for the week, and then the next week we'll hand it on to the next class. And so all the school kids are also praying for vocations. And I think
that's quite a few kids because you've got pre-K through sixth, right?
Right, yeah.
So that's a lot of prayer going on there.
Yeah. And so there, you know, I'm sure that God is going to not only hear their prayers, because God hears the prayers of children, right?
Of course.
But, you know, who knows if that might be the spark that inspires a young child to maybe consider the priesthood or the religious life, to open their hearts to the call of the Lord, to go out into the world.
Such a beautiful step forward. And I always remember, again, I keep flashing back to things that I experienced in Catholic school, and they used to tell us, be specific about what you're praying for. So we're praying for vocations. We're asking God to send us more men and women, like you said, either to the priesthood or to be sisters or the religious life, asking for that specifically. And as you said, doing it in a way that is so beautiful. It's a visual. It's something that is not so abstract for anyone who may come to Mass and they may see that. And again, like you said, that may start them thinking about their own vocation.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the vocations of the people in their family. We hear of stories where the family is against the young man or young woman moving forward with their vocation. But if they see the beauty of it in the home parish, as you're showing with this traveling crucifix, it may take away some of that stigma and may open a lot more hearts.
Absolutely.
That's great.
Well, it's one thing to say, pray for vocations, and that's kind of an abstract and
right.
very nebulous thing. But when you see something like that, mm-hmm. it's...
It brings it home.
It makes it more concrete.
In more ways than one. Well, Father Paul Hesse, thank you so much. We appreciate your time today on Our Shepherd's View. If you would end the program now, Father, with a prayer and a blessing.
Sure. Let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour forth your Spirit into our hearts and help us to utilize the gifts that we have been given. As Jesus has risen and has ascended to the Father, we pray that you may help us to carry on the good works that he has called us to do, and may we be instruments of bringing the gospel into the world in which we live. And we ask you to bring us many vocations to continue to serve the church and to bring us the Eucharist. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.